Good morning. It's the show. I'm Mark Brody, along with Lauren Gilger and Steve Goldstein. And our next story is best introduced by this clip of British comedian Michael McIntyre.
The thing about Americans that I've thought about the language is that they say they speak English, but they've had to change it to make them understand it more. Go with me on this, because I've thought it through. They've changed some of the words. So they've taken the English language, but they've looked at some of it and they thought, no, I think we need a little bit more explanation here, OK? That's my American accent. So things like pavement. So they can't work with pavement, so they've changed it to sidewalk. Yeah. They needed more information. They needed to know where they were going to be walking so that they wouldn't get run over.
Which is better, British English or American English? Does it depend entirely upon where you're living or where you're from or whatever your ears prefer? Regardless, there is a difference between the two, and though that isn't necessarily growing or becoming more contentious, there is still a battle among some. Linguist Lynn Murphy covers a lot of that, including what she calls the American verbal inferiority complex and the British verbal superiority complex in her new book, The Prodigal Tongue, The Love-Hate Relationship Between American and British English. Murphy grew up in the U.S., but is now a professor of linguistics in England, and she's with me. Lynn, is there actually a feud between those who favor American English and those who favor British English?
Well, what there is a feeling of threat in Britain about American English, perhaps having too much power or bringing too many words into Britain that weren't familiar before. On the American side, there tends to be a little bit of insecurity about English, sort of the assumption that if it comes from England, it must be real English. Mm-hmm.
Well, I wonder about your background, which is really fascinating when it comes to someone who's involved in this sort of thing, someone who lived in America, but you're a professor in Britain. How does this work for you as someone who is straddling both sides of it, but has experienced both sides of it?
Well, it's fun. I mean, if you're a person who's interested in words, you know, there's nothing better than going someplace where somebody's got a lot of new ones for you. And so it's just always a process of discovery. I've been there for 18 years, but I'm always discovering new things that people say that I didn't know before. The most recent ones, I was at a meeting the other day, and the manager said, this isn't worth the candle. And that was an expression I hadn't heard before, so I immediately Googled it on my phone and found it as an expression, you know, saying it's not worth the effort.
Could we call this a competition?
I think different people feel it different ways. So definitely in Britain, there are some people who feel like American English is competing with British English and that British English is losing its status in the world and that, you know, it's losing its status even in England a little bit. I don't think they're right about that, but there's definitely a feeling that if American English is being successful, it must be at the expense of somebody else.
Americans, people I work with, are obsessed with the British accent. And I'm not sure if that's the British accent that sounds proper or a British accent that sounds more like Cockney, but whatever it is, they love the sound of it.
Yeah. If you talk about a British accent in Britain, people will get annoyed because there is no such thing as a British accent. You know, there are various English accents and various Scottish accents and various Welsh accents. But the thing that Americans tend to call a British accent is what's in Britain called the received pronunciation accent. So this sort of very proper, posh sort of talking, which, you know, everybody says, oh, everything sounds sexier in a British accent or everything sounds more intelligent in a British accent. And that's usually what they're talking about. But also, Americans don't always have a good sense of the different accents in England and so don't always necessarily identify who's not speaking in that proper way. And so people can find it a bit funny. So, for example, John Oliver on the television, he had an accent that meant that he couldn't be successful in England, but he came over here and everybody loves him and thinks he sounds smart because he's got a British accent.
When did this divergence really start? When did we start seeing huge differences in American versus what we're calling British English?
Well, I mean, first of all, you have to question whether they're huge differences because okay. We mostly understand each other, right?
Mostly.
We don't have to have them subtitled or anything like that. But, you know, from basically the beginning of America being having a sizable population and being a little bit different, you know, people have been noticing the differences. So in the 18th century, people were already noticing that American accents were a little bit different and complaining sometimes about American words as being ridiculous. So the first known example of an American word that was mocked in Britain was bluff, meaning a cliff, which we got from Dutch. And from then on, you know, it continued.
Are there other sort of general stereotypes that the British have about American accents?
Well, if you ask somebody to do an American accent in Britain, very often what you get is a sort of valley girl kind of speech. So there is this sort of exaggerated use of vowels. And that, I don't know, sort of gives a certain youthful and possibly consumeristic or something view of Americans. But yeah, you get various stereotypes based on different exposure that people have to American English, whether it's from the business world, you know, so Americans can be a bit stereotyped as being the people who are always trying to make a deal, or the accents that come through to British listeners through hip-hop and things like that.
Are the differences getting wider and broader?
The accents are not moving any closer, and if anything, are moving apart. But the vocabulary, we go back and forth all the time, and, you know, there's always difference, but we swap words rather easily these days because of technology.
There was concern with President Trump in office that the longstanding great relationship between Great Britain and the U.S. was in trouble to some extent. Is that anything compared to the fight over the language?
I think the language fight is going on, you know, in the newspapers, in the letters to the editor and things like that. And, you know, it's not going to have any huge consequences for most people. I'd be a little bit more worried about the political side.
Do British folks love American language, American accents, even if more privately, in the same way that Americans tend to love the British accent?
Well, it would be more private. I can think of two people who have ever told me that they loved hearing my American accent, which, of course, now is quite un-American in various ways. But, you know, it tends to be people who have emotional ties to America. You know, they have an American ex-boyfriend or they lived there for a long time who, you know, sort of wax poetic about American English. But, you know, there's no accounting for tastes.
Are you in Britain 11 months of the year? Can you give me an idea of the balance and what it's like when you're not in Britain? For example, when you're in New York, are you easily adjusted?
I spend between, I'd say, 4 and 6 weeks a year in America, usually in two different blocks. And, I mean, I usually go home to the same people and hear the same familiar voices I'm used to. And I hear myself talking to them sounding a bit more different. But this visit, I've been going around talking about the book, and it's brought me to a lot of different places in America. And for yesterday, for instance, I was in Connecticut, and friends from Boston came to see me. And just hearing that Boston accent again, you know, I see these people on Facebook, but I don't hear their voice. That was just so wonderful to hear that again.
Well, Lynn Murphy is author of The Prodigal Tongue, The Love-Hate Relationship Between American and British English. Lynn, thank you very much for the time today.
Thank you for having me.